You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
For our weekly catch-up with ACT, I spoke to ACT MP Karen Chua about their proposal to ban contractors from challenging their employment status. Serious allegations of inappropriate behaviour towards children under Oranga Tamariki's care and ACT's opposition to new standards for surgical waitlists. Here is that interview. If in government, ACT would stop contracted workers from being able to challenge their employment status, why is this important to you?
Yeah, I mean, we need to create certainty for businesses. And people want contracts to be independent, and they want to be able to be their own employees or contractors. The problem is we need to clarify the law to define who is contractor and who is employee. Doesn't really eliminate the risk of it being challenged, so we would just remove the opportunity for that to be challenged. And the reason is, it just gives some certainty to businesses that they can put out a contract for a specific task and that person is not going to be classed as an employee.
ACT has said that barring those in contracting arrangements from challenging their employment status, like you said, would give certainty to businesses, but you've also said it would give certainty to employees. Can you explain how this would give certainty to employees in particular?
Well, it just helps that they would be able to get some entitlements. Like, some companies may offer them other entitlements on top of their contract, and it allows them to know that they can accept those extra entitlements without even then the business turning around and treating them like an employee rather than a contractor. So it works both ways. Sometimes a business may offer them a bit of a perk and a bit of extras that is what has enabled them to challenge this, that their Uber contract has enabled them to challenge it because of those extra entitlements. So it works both ways. It allows them to be able to negotiate on their terms. But there'd have to be specific terms. There'd have to be a written agreement where it is specified that they're an independent contractor and they will not have access to full employee rights. It'll also make it that they have to have sufficient information and adequate opportunity to seek advice before entering the contract, and that it wouldn't restrict them from performing services for other businesses when they have finished their task with that business. So we'd make sure that everybody is looked after.
Trade unions like Etu have said that this policy would let some employers get away with misusing contracts. Do you believe that this is an issue for workers in Aotearoa?
I think a lot of contractors have been surveyed, and there's around 5% of contractors, and 90% of them say they're satisfied with the positions and they prefer being, that's the word, self-employed. They employ themselves, and that gives them the flexibility to be able to do what they want in their times and actually accept the jobs that they want to do. So I think, as much as employers have some responsibility, employees, when they go into a contract, have the ability to negotiate that. They're self-employed.
So you don't believe that it's an issue here in Aotearoa?
I don't think it's as big of an issue as what's happened, but I think because of what's going through the courts with Uber at the moment, well, we need to make sure that we're keeping up with the issues that are going on.
I also wanted to talk to you about serious allegations of inappropriate behaviour towards children in Oranga Tamariki Care. What would you like to see come from this situation?
Look, this is a very sensitive topic, and I've expressed that I'm very unsatisfied with what's happened. When these things happen, there has to be consequences for it happening. We also need to make sure that we are following basic protocols within these organisations. These are our most vulnerable children, and there will always be perpetrators that will target our most vulnerable children. So they will look for work in places like this. So we need to be extra vigilant when we're coming to our hiring processes, our training processes, and making sure that if people do see something is not right within those organisations, that they're speaking up and they feel comfortable to speak up. Why aren't staff speaking up earlier? Why aren't they saying that they're witnessing things that shouldn't be happening? And that really concerns me, that when they were asked, were these people police vetted, they couldn't answer straight away yes. I mean, they may have been police vetted, we're not sure yet. But the answer should have been yes.
Your members' bill proposes repealing a section of the Oranga Tamariki Act. This act requires Oranga Tamariki's chief executive to recognise and provide a practical commitment to the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Why do you believe that Oranga Tamariki not being a treaty partner would benefit children in state care, or particularly Tamariki Māori?
Hey, look, I'm a person that believes that we should be protecting all of our children equally, no matter what. And a child abused is a child abused. A child unfair is a child unfair, whether they're black, white, brown, Māori, whatever. A child needs to be treated as a child. And unfortunately, this section of the Act, which I'm wanting to be repealed, actually divides our children by race and actually treats our children differently because of their race. I mean, I've been a victim of this myself growing up with the old system, this by Māori for Māori approach, which is good in some circumstances, but it shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. I was actually put back in a home that was not good for me under this by Māori for Māori, and experienced more time in a home where I was not safe than I should have because of that policy. We need to be making sure that the kids' best interests are first and foremost, and then we can look at culture second. And culture is important, and it should be considered, but it shouldn't be the only thing that is considered.
Ethnicity, or you've been focusing on race, has been a focus for ACT, and you've recently come out in opposition to ethnicity being a factor in surgical wait lists, and this is one of the factors that the government has introduced for surgeons to consider when deciding whether to give them priority for surgery, as well as clinical priority, the time spent on wait lists, geographic location, you know, if they live in a rural area, or deprivation level. So why is ACT focusing on just ethnicity in this case?
Well, ethnicity is something you can't change. Ethnicity is something that you're born with. And we kind of feel that race-based policy is never a good thing. I don't believe that in my household that I should have access to different healthcare just because of my race. I mean, I have a mixed household, and I've stood up in Parliament and I've said this. Do we think it's right that my husband, who's a different culture to me, doesn't have the same access to some healthcare that may not have the same access to healthcare that I would? We live in the same house, we earn the same money, we raise the same children. There's no difference. Yet my culture will be taken ahead of his.
Do you see any of these other factors that have been identified as being a barrier to receiving healthcare that people also can't control as being an issue?
Yes, definitely. So they can't control that. If you're living in a rural area, it takes a lot longer to get to a hospital, it takes a lot longer to get to places, and that should be taken into consideration. And the other factors are good factors, and if we're getting those right, if Māori are within those factors, they will be getting seen under those other issues anyway. What we have an issue with is when you start making race-based policies, where you start making one race ahead of others in your policies, and that just causes division in a country. We shouldn't be doing anything that is race-based lawmaking. It's not right. We're all New Zealanders and we should all be treated equally.
So a number of public health experts have said that this shift is required to make up for inequalities faced by Māori and Pacific people at stages of the healthcare system, like being referred for surgeries or accessing medical help in the first instance. Do you accept that these barriers exist for Māori and Pacifica people in Aotearoa?
Yeah, we need to be looking at, if this is an issue, we need to be looking at it. And if there are doctors that aren't referring people because they're Māori, something needs to be done about that. That is a separate issue. If people are being treated differently because of their race, and they can prove a doctor is deliberately not referring people because they're Māori, then that's another issue in itself, and those doctors should be held accountable for that behaviour. We need to deal with that. But what I'm saying is we should not be putting people ahead of others based on race.
A number of these public health experts have said that what they are proposing to do to address this would be having this be one of five factors considered when prioritising people for surgery. Why is ACT going against medical experts' advice, and who has ACT gone to for your stance on this issue?
You know what, there's also other doctors on the other side of it saying that this is morally wrong and that they didn't sign up for this and that they signed a Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. So there's doctors on both sides of this issue, and I firmly believe that race-based policy and putting other people ahead of others because of race is wrong.
Can you tell me who the other doctors on the other side that you're talking about are?
I'm talking about the articles that I've read where surgeons have said that they're not happy with this, that they didn't sign up for that, that they signed an oath to do no harm, and that they don't feel that this is right. They don't feel that putting someone ahead on a list based on race is right.
So these are independent surgeons or individuals, not medical organisations and bodies?
You know, when you want something to work within a healthcare system, you have to bring everybody on board. You have to make sure that it's going to work. And when you've got some people working within the medical profession that have spoken out and have spoken against the tide and who have felt like they aren't able to voice themselves and have gone to the media and haven't named themselves through fear, you know that there's an issue and that this is a discussion that needs to be had. And I personally, myself, believe that this is wrong.
And that was ACT MP Karen Chaw.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chaw.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.